When the will defies fear, when duty throws the gauntlet down to fate, when honor scorns to compromise with death, that is heroism. Robert Greene Ingersoll.
Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful week. Sounds like someone's had a good time. And that was just for the intro.
I couldn't help it. For some reason, that yak was funny.
The yak is always funny.
I don't know why so much today, but it just was.
All right.
Anyways.
Anyways, did you have a good week?
I have no idea.
Well, I did, because, you know, we went to the zoo.
That was yesterday.
So, that was part of this week.
I can remember yesterday, I just can't remember the rest of the week.
Well, we'll have to do something someday about why you can't remember things.
Yeah, I have many issues, what can I say?
Well, someday we'll do a show on why.
Perhaps. Ugh, maybe.
Anyways.
Hopefully everyone else has had a good week, though.
I certainly hope so.
Some have not.
Well, it depends on the rest of the week, too, because the end of the week's going to suck.
Oh, is it now?
Yeah, that's inauguration day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I was just thinking about that, actually. Anyways, how about we do the show now?
Fine. That's part of the show.
That story, maybe.
Maybe. Anyway, we have Twitter followers.
Oh, yay, we can destroy some more names.
Probably one. Maybe none. I don't know.
We'll see.
All right, let's start off with that. Bum Wine. Yeah, Bum Wine.
Okay.
Thomas C. Williams. Millennial Eastwood. No Hate Campaign. Amazing Race. Under Corporation. Kane Lodge. Gerald Wan. And Maggie Rowe.
Well, not too shabby.
Not too bad this week.
But apologize in case you did.
I didn't. I'm pretty sure I got everybody.
You don't know.
Anyways. But I guess we should get on to some news.
That's why people are here.
Usually.
One would hope.
Yeah. There's going to be a new shield in Washington, D.C. this week.
A new shield?
Yeah, at the inauguration.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. On Friday, January 20th, our newly elected fascist and Twitter-in-chief, Donald Trump, will be sworn in as President of the United States.
I know, that's a scary thing, huh?
And he will be getting some extra protection while doing it. But,
okay.
But not from the Secret Service or even his own private security force.
Okay.
This protection will be a shield of prayer.
Well, that'll be effective.
Yeah, usually. Basically, a shield of nothing.
Like I said, effective.
Yeah. Or, as they note on the website that's promoting this, it is, quote, a council of prelates assembling to raise up a spiritual shield in Washington, D.C. prior to President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration.
Huh. I'm at a loss for words, really.
That's okay, because they're not.
Obviously.
They have a goal. We are called to gather in the nation's capital to raise up a shield of prayer and prophetic understanding grounded in the firm foundation of the immutable words of God. And inspired with fresh revelation by the Spirit of the Lord. These proven leaders are convening to release the word of the Lord and lead this anointed assembly in powerful prayers, intercession, declarations, and decrees over the White House, Supreme Court, and the Capitol Hill.
Okay.
Yeah, that is a whole lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, basically they're just gathering to say words at Donald Trump and protect him from the godlessness of the
United States. From themselves?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because pretty much they're the ones that, you know, his kind of followers are the kind of people that they need protection from.
Pretty much.
I mean, because like I said earlier, you know, all the violence and stuff that has been going on lately since he's, you know, been in has been crazy. So technically they need protection from their own selves.
They do. But don't worry, you don't have to be one of the prelates in order to help.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they have a nice noticeable donate now button right on the front of their page.
Isn't that convenient?
Yeah. So what's interesting here is that they want you to give donations for basically them saying prayers.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
What's the money for?
That's what I want to know.
I mean, you don't need money to say a prayer.
They're not a full ministry.
Right.
They don't have a building.
And right, they don't need to raise funds for anything in particular, or anything. You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I can tell you what donations are for.
Okay.
They're to go to pay the salaries of the litany of megachurch pastors and talking heads they have praying.
Oh, so like the big wigs that they're going to put on for the show.
Yeah, like E.W. White, I think was his name. I'll try and put a link to the website. I forgot the name of the website. But if you go there, they've got this list of everybody who's going to be praying that day.
So it's just a show.
Yeah, it's just a show.
And they have some big names that they got to pay for because apparently the big names won't do it for free.
Right, and these are the biggest scam artists.
Again, you know, all this is a business. Yeah. It's nothing but a business. Now, on a more legitimate newsreel on this, I did see that they are upping security and whatnot for this event. I mean, they had high security when they did Obama, but I almost got the feeling that they're getting a little more security than they did last time. Because not only do they have police departments from all over the country coming in to help, they also have National Guard. I forget how many they said that they had, a couple thousand, and police, you know, yada, 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 whatever. But it just seems that they're, like, preparing for all the Trump supporters, all arguing with the non-Trump supporters because there's been so much hate for, you know, president-elect and how so many people are so against him, and yet so many people that are for him tend to get pretty violent. And I think they're kind of on, you know, on edge about that.
Yeah, they're very much on edge. But at least they're doing something real. I mean, they're not proposing a shield of faith.
No, I know that. That's what I meant by on real news about that. You know, somebody actually doing something to make a difference and prepare for it versus sitting there making a show is really all they're doing. That's all just they're doing. So they can get donations. That's all that's about.
Yeah.
Nothing off their backs to bring money in, you know?
Yep.
They don't even have to go out of their way, really.
Yeah. Again, religion's a scam.
Well, duh.
I'm Dustin.
And I'm Wesley.
We host the Atheist Nomads podcast.
We're godless geeks who take a skeptical look at
politics, religion, science, technology, and history.
We also interview leaders in the atheist, skeptic, and humanist community.
Check us out at atheistnomads.com.
That's atheistnomads.com.
Good evening. Don't be startled, children. I will be filling in as storytime counselor. So sit back, get comfortable. My story begins on a night just like this one.
In the year 2022, we should be able to see something really cool in the sky.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Scientists predict that a pair of stars in the constellation Cygnus will collide in 2022, give or take a year. Creating an explosion in the night sky so bright it will be visible to the naked eye.
Like with or without a telescope?
Without. That's why it said naked eye.
Really?
Yeah. Well, unless you're glasses.
Talking amateur telescope.
Well,
you know,
with the amateur telescope, it would be even better.
It would just be a better show, but you could see it without any equipment, I guess you could say.
Binoculars would be fine. Yeah.
Well, that would be cool.
If it happens, it would be the first time such an event was predicted by scientists.
That is true.
Yeah. Calvin College professor Larry Mulner and his team said in a statement that two stars are orbiting each other now and share a common atmosphere like two peanuts sharing a single shell. That's how close they are.
Wow.
They predict those two stars, jointly called KIC 9832227, will eventually merge and explode.
Well, that will definitely be a very cool thing to watch.
Yeah, and at which time the star will increase its brightness 10,000-fold, becoming one of the brighter stars in the heavens for a time.
Well, that's what I was going to say. How long?
The extra bright star will then be called a red nova. They don't know how long it will last.
Oh, okay.
They recently presented their research at a meeting for American Astronomical Society in Grapevine, Texas.
And I imagine that as it gets closer to this date, they'll be able to predict more accurately as to when to be on the lookout for it.
Yeah, they should be able to. So predicting the movements of stars at distance is really, really tough. Yeah,
well, I figure it'll be an ongoing prediction. It's not going to be, you know, today we say it'll be then. I would imagine it would be something they watch. Okay, now it's looking like this. And then they watch and okay, now it looks like it's going to be, you know, as it narrows down closer and closer is pretty much what I mean.
Well, according to Molnar, he said, it will be a very dramatic change in the sky as anyone can see it. You won't need a telescope to tell me in 2023 whether I was wrong or I was right. So that'd be cool.
Yeah, that
something
would
to look forward to.
Yeah, that would be.
See a binary star system crash into each other.
And everyone actually gets to see it.
Yeah.
In our lifetime.
And we get to prove, at that point, a lot of theoretical physics and stuff.
Oh, yeah. So much studying can be done from this. On many levels, actually.
Yeah, just to show that predictive science does work.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure all the religious will come out for this, too, as well.
Yeah. It'll be Jesus' star.
You know.
It's the second
coming. Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, this is God's show. He's going to put on a show for us kind of thing.
Yeah, what a ridiculous bunch of crap.
I remember once upon a time, you know, the heavens sat in the clouds. And then later on, the heavens moved up to the stars. And, you know, keeps moving farther back. Or he just created it all. And here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my worry, is that they're going to say it's Jesus' second coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a giant star in the sky that's not supposed to be there.
Oh, and be on the lookout for the planet for another comeback.
Yeah. Funny. I got something else for you.
Do you?
Yeah. Atheism grew during the Obama years.
I could see that.
Yeah. A recent report from the Pew Research Group about how the nation has changed since Obama took office in 2008 reveals that more Americans are identifying as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular.
Yeah. Now, would you say that's from him being in office or just the coincidence of social media and everything kind of all going along for those 8 years kind of thing?
There's a lot more in this report, but this is what I wanted to concentrate on. And yeah, it has a lot to do with social media use. It has a lot to do with the way things have gone socially.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And what's really surprising to me is that this trend is across all age groups.
Oh, not just one particular over another.
Right. Okay. Obviously, the biggest climb was with the millennials going from 25 to 35%.
Mm-hmm.
Millennials are classified as those born from the early 1980s to the early 2000s.
It goes all the way back to the 80s?
It does.
I'm which surprised. Is weird,
but, you know, I don't make the demographics. Someone else decides those numbers.
I wouldn't have guessed the late 80s.
Yeah. Well, it says early 80s.
Wait, early 80s? Even that far?
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems like a stretch. Till when?
Till the early 2000s.
Huh. That's interesting.
So people that came of age around the millennium.
Uh-huh.
So people who would have turned their late teens, early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or close.
Right.
Right. Coming next with 4 percentage point climbs from 19 to 23 are the Gen Xers, or those born from the 1960s to the early 1980s,
mm-hmm.
which are our generation.
Our generations and our children are millennials.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Boomers went up 3 points from 14 to 17, and boomers are those born from 1946 to 1964.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly our parents, really.
Yeah.
And lastly, the silent generation went up for the first time. So silent generation, they gained 2 points and went from 9 to 11. That's pretty much anyone born from 1920 to 1940.
Oh, okay.
They didn't give any numbers on the greatest generation, which is the one just before that, which would have been the ones that actually served in World War II.
Oh. Uh-huh.
That's why they called the greatest generation. Kind of different. People that survived the Great Depression.
Right.
As adults.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. That was kind of a neat little report that I read.
It's good. I'm curious how it'll go in the next 10 years, you know? I mean, as far as, you know, the continual climb, or will it kind of go stagnant, or it will just be a slow increase?
Well, I think some of the, especially with the silent generation, a lot of that has to do with more and more of their generation dying.
Right.
Usually when a generation gets closer to death, they tend to get more religious, but what's weird is they're getting less religious.
Hmm.
And the same with all of them. I mean, the boomers are getting up there.
Right.
But they're getting less and less religious.
Honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with the more information that's readily available now, really. Yeah. I mean, even my grandmother has Facebook. I don't even do Facebook, and my grandmother does Facebook, you know. I mean, so I really do think it has a lot to do with just more information that they get at their fingertips that you couldn't just get sitting in your living room or, you know, in your own little tiny town.
Right.
Like you can now.
Yeah, I think that's a big factor, is the amount of information available.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not, you don't even have to do social media to do it.
No, I know that. I just meant as far as, you know, the internet, you get so many different sources that, you know, you find out so much information. And then when you do find something out, you don't have to rely on just one saying, you know, someone who said so. You can go look and check many different sources to make sure that, you know, that's actually what happened, kind of a deal, you know?
We could just get people to check many different sources.
Yeah.
That's the next case.
Yeah, stop listening and, you know, thinking the first thing they hear is the real thing every single time.
Right.
I mean, they always used to tell you can't always believe what you read, kind of thing. The same still holds true. But now you can do something about it, you know? Right. Whereas before you just couldn't.
Yeah, so I'm encouraged by these numbers. I'm hoping they'll continue to keep climbing.
I do think, though, in the next 10 years, it will be an interesting thing to watch. I mean, between this new election that we have about to go on way, and then what happens at the later half of those 10 years. So the first half of the 10 and the later half of the 10, and see how they kind of go together and, you know, if there's a trend or, you know, what have you. It'll be interesting to look back, you know,
and
see how it goes.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what the next generation has in store. The one after the millennials.
That means my kids' kids?
Yeah, basically.
Are we getting closer to that time? Jesus.
We're getting closer.
That's a really scary thing.
Yes, it is.
Has God We Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster In God We Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an In God We Trust decal on the patrol car? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation. And their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
Yeah, back with the Potter Award.
So did we not do a Potter Award last
week? Yeah, we did.
We did?
Well, no. We had
an interview last week.
We had the Callie Wright interview, which I did love so much.
Yes.
If you haven't heard it, go listen to it.
Yeah. It was our previous episode, and for some reason I couldn't shut up. I just kept going and going.
That's normal.
Anyway, so it's good to hear Potter is back.
Yeah. This week we're looking at a little school district in Conejo. Conejo?
Perhaps. I'm not even looking at it. I can't tell.
Okay. Valley, California. And specifically, a new school board president, Mike Dunn.
Okay.
He says a new K-12 history social science framework, which instructs teachers to include the accomplishments of LGBT individuals and other marginalized people in their lessons, conflicts with his Catholic faith.
Wait, did you say public school?
Public school.
Who gives a crap about his public faith? I mean, Catholic faith.
Yeah, his public faith, Catholic, whatever. No one cares.
I was going to say, that's his personal time. That's not his job time.
That is correct.
Okay, continue.
Oh, yeah. He says this. Where I spend eternity is far more important to me than being the school board trustee.
Wow. So, in other words, I don't give a shit about you.
His problem is that he feels if he votes in favor of this thing, then he is promoting this viewpoint.
What do you mean by promoting?
That,
I mean, by saying that everyone should be on board and agree and treat them decently, and that's what he's not with?
Well, basically. And it's kind of the same thing that you get when these bakers who won't bake a gay wedding cake,
uh-huh.
You know, which should be read as won't bake a wedding cake. They think that they're promoting gay marriage, when in fact they're just baking a cake.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. He's just doing his job as a board trustee.
Right.
Right. This has nothing to do with his faith.
Right. When you are told to, you know, your job, it has this, this, and that, like baking a cake or what have you, you're just doing your job.
Right.
It's not like he's going out and soliciting against something he doesn't believe in or something. Right.
Well, the framework adopted by California State Board of Education July 2016 directs educators to study the stories of a very diverse collection of families, including families with lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender parents.
And he has issue with that.
He has a huge issue with that. Dunn, a devout Catholic and a conservative, says in an email that this requirement contradicts his interpretations of the teachings of the Bible.
So, once again, we can't have equality for all, is what this means.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. He's saying we shouldn't include teaching anybody about diversity, basically.
Or accepting everyone for who they are and loving them all, regardless. Yeah.
So, he also says, I will not vote for the 2016 framework, and I am also sensitive to the reaction from mothers if we start promoting homosexuality.
Wait, what? The mothers part?
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
What did he say about that part?
He's worried about parents, and I guess specifically mothers, complaining about the promotion of homosexuality in the history and social studies classes by talking about prominent homosexual people.
Okay, I must be having a really dumb blonde moment right now, because I don't get the part why he's concerned with mothers in particular.
Because the mothers will be the one who complain.
So if they promote this, it's going to be on the moms that are going to be complaining?
Yes, that's what he is saying.
Wow. Okay.
He predicted that adopting the framework which he characterized as politically correct.
You cannot talk.
Politically correct propaganda would accelerate the district's enrollment decline. They've been having a slow decline in enrollment.
Uh-huh.
And he thinks this will make it worse because parents will pull their kids out of schools because they're teaching about the homosexuality.
They're in public schools.
Yeah, well, California has school choice.
What is school choice mean?
You can choose to send your kids to other school districts.
Okay, no, that's fine, but... that's just stupid.
Yeah, he's worried that they will continue to lose enrollment, which means less state dollars.
Right, because it all comes down to the almighty dollar.
Right. Only because they're teaching the homosexuality.
Yeah, that'll be the problem, and maybe not their policies on how they teach or something, right. You know, or, you know, certain rules that they have or curriculum that they teach or anything else. You know, it's all down to the gay and lesbian problem. Right. That just trumps everything.
Yeah. Well, this isn't the first time Dunn, who is just weeks into his first tenure as board president, has drawn the ire of critics for citing his faith as motivation for a particular stance or position.
So he has more.
Oh, yeah. There's always more.
He's a Potter Award winner. Of course there is.
Last August, he voted against a new state-mandated sexual education curriculum after he said it conflicted with the teachings of the Catholic Church. Again, his personal beliefs.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Can't he keep his personal life separate from work? I mean, how many times is every grown adult told, you keep your personal separate from your professional?
Yeah.
It's not hard. It's not rocket science here.
Yeah, generally most people can do that.
Yeah. I mean,
unless you're a super devout religious person, then you obviously can't do it.
I still see that as ridiculous.
Yeah, the sex education included such controversial topics as using condoms as prevention of AIDS, HIV.
My God, they use condoms. What were they thinking?
To protect against AIDS and or HIV.
Anything.
It would also address such taboo topics as body image, gender, and sexual orientation.
No.
Yeah, such horrible things to teach our kids.
No, we should never tell our children about any of this stuff because we've already proven how much that works.
Yeah.
Just shh.
I'm surprised.
Nobody needs to know.
I never found where he says that he wants abstinence only, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, if you read between the lines, that's kind of what he wants to say.
Well, that's what the Catholic doctrine
is. Well, exactly.
Is abstinence only. No
right.
Protection.
Oh, yeah. And as growing up Catholic and the Catholic school that I went to with my best friend and her 12 siblings, it worked well for them.
Yeah, abstinence only works
that's
well.
That's right.
Except that one time. Anyway, prior to that, in November 2015, he refused to vote on a change to district policy that allowed transgender students to play on sports teams with the gender they identify with.
Wait, he did what?
He refused to vote on a district policy
that would allow transgender. Is that what you said?
That would allow transgender to play on the sports team they identify with.
Can't they just? That's really frustrating.
Yeah. He said it was because he felt it was part of the LGBT agenda that has, quote, that quote, has killed over 450,000 Americans from AIDS.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, that's his words.
Man, talk about ignorant.
Yeah, because the LGBT agenda has killed over 450,000 Americans with AIDS.
Very interesting how he says agenda.
Yeah, the agenda.
God, the ignorance is just unbelievable, and the fact that he can't keep his own personal stupidity, because I'm sorry, this is just stupidity, out as being... He shouldn't be on the school board.
No, he shouldn't.
He but absolutely should not be on the school
board. He's been on for over 10 years.
Of course.
And to make matters worse in this transgender issue... He suggested having a separate locker and bathroom facilities to accommodate transgender youth.
Accommodate my ass, to ostracize them. That's what that's about.
Because we all know how well separate but equal went over in the South.
Well, that's no different than, you know, a child who doesn't want to stand up and do the pledge and make them stand outside the classroom.
Right.
Or a child who doesn't celebrate Christmas, so doesn't want to be at the Christmas party and makes the kid go sit out in the hallway.
Right.
You know, let's point them out and, you know, have them stand in the corner with a dunce cap and point fingers at them.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much what you're doing.
You're making them a target for bullying.
A target, exactly. Yeah.
And especially in when we have such issues with transgender now anyway,
Giving
them a separate facility doesn't help.
No. Absolutely
not. It will actually make things worse.
I can't understand people's phobia with not allowing them or even accepting them to choose who they identify with and just let it be. That's who they are. That's who they feel they are. That's who they identify with. What difference does it make? Is it back to that whole...
biological parts.
Yeah, the whole bathroom thing. Is that what that's all about again? So, what is the deal?
Here's my biggest issue with the separate... locker rooms for transgender youth.
Uh-huh.
You have trans girls and trans boys.
Mm-hmm.
How do you work that out?
Well, that's
are you going to have a different one, trans boys and trans girls?
That's what I was assuming. I mean, they were going with.
Or you're
going
to have one big trans locker room.
You can't,
which doesn't
you can't
help
do
at
that.
All.
That's still you would never have a unisex locker room in a school. You're not going to have unisex for transgender either.
But that's the way that they're laying it out. That's the way
but
that
that's
I'm
what it sounds
it.
Like.
Yeah,
no,
that's the way
I
I'm reading
no,
it.
I totally
so
agree.
One big locker room for all the trans kids.
No, so that's basically like anyone wearing a badge on their arm should go in this other facility. I mean,
yeah, basically.
You know, just take round up this group and go stick them in this facility while all the other people who aren't in that group will be in, you know, the normal facility or what have you or whatever. But I don't understand what people's problem with transgender period. I mean, the acceptance of allowing, you know, whoever you identify as who you identify as.
Okay.
I mean, I know, I don't know if they're still playing the card in the beginning. They were saying something about the whole, what was it? That guy that stopped you. You don't want your kids. Having so-and-so in the bathroom with them or something like that. He had said to you.
Yeah. He'd basically said,
the safety factor.
Yeah. The safety of the kids. I'm like, my kids are safe. With a lot of other words.
Yeah, a lot of F-bombs in those words.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were riding the whole safety train before, and now...
But it's already illegal to do that in bathrooms.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There is nothing new. Even if you have a woman who is a biological woman who is taking pictures of a woman in a bathroom.
Okay, there is no law...
They still can't do that.
There is no law that says a man can't enter a woman's bathroom that I know of, right?
Well, of course. Yeah, I know. Far as I know.
So, what is the deal? It's already illegal for a man to enter a woman's bathroom with the intent of being a voyeur or doing these things.
Right, with that intent, right.
What's the problem? Why the issue with the transgender? Why is that such
an
issue?
Honestly, I think it comes down to that religious phobia.
It has to be.
I really think that's what it all comes down to.
Because you're going against God's plan.
just, I for me personally, it's hard to grasp because I don't get it. It's ridiculous.
I agree.
I mean, I don't see the big deal. Really honestly don't. It's hard to go that way, right. You know?
And for being so anti-LGBT, mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike Dunn definitely deserves a Potter Award this week.
Yeah, because he just, you know, can't hold a professional position when he's at work.
Right. Yeah, super Catholic.
Mm-hmm. It's sad, actually.
Yeah. Well, I do have one more quick story.
Do you know?
Yeah, it's called an act of slacktivism.
Slacktivism?
So I am a proponent of slacktivism.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it many times. I don't know if I've ever said it here.
You should explain.
So, slacktivism was originally designed as a derogatory term for those of us who spend most of our time on social media trying to affect change.
Right.
A lot of people said, well, basically Gen Xers, who are called slackers anyway,
mm-hmm.
Use this as a medium to get things done.
Right.
To get our message out. And people called it slacktivism because they didn't think it was useful. They think basically talking to the internets.
Right.
Which had no effect.
Uh-huh.
And originally, it probably didn't.
Oh, it does now.
But it does now, right.
Yeah.
And this is a case in point. This is one that I was involved with.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm involved in a lot of slacktivism. It's what I do.
Yeah, tell me about it.
On January 12th, the Greenwood, Missouri Police Department posted some pictures on their Facebook page of their patrol vehicles in the shape of a cross with the words, "In God We Trust," typed over them, leaving little doubt as to which God they mean.
Obviously.
Right. So you got a nice Christian cross.
Right.
On a police page.
Right. Public.
Okay. Now, most of you who follow the show know that I'm pretty much against "In God We Trust" on police cars, public buildings, whatever.
Right. Government.
So I was notified by a follower of the original model project on my way home.
Uh-huh.
I posted it to the page and then finished my drive home. I was about 45 minutes away when all this started.
Right.
By the time I got home and checked the Facebook post, it had hundreds of new comments in 45 minutes.
I'm sure you were proud of that.
I was very proud. In fact, I posted on the original Model Project page how proud I was of our community for doing this. A lot of those comments were from folks I recognize as being part of the project.
Right.
You know, our regulars.
Right, yeah.
I know quite a few of them. I know a friend of quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not much longer after that, the department had taken down all the religious posts on their page.
Right.
Which is what we wanted.
That's slacktivism.
That is slacktivism at work.
Mm-hmm. When there's one thing that will definitely work is they don't want the bad publicity.
Right.
And when you are on social medias in mass like that, it's effective.
Right.
It's like, you know, back in the day before all the internet, you know, the tool was when you had somebody that was doing something bad, they're like, if you don't fix this, I'm going to take it to the news media,
right.
You know, because that was the thing back then. You would take it to news channels.
Right.
Nowadays, you could just do it yourself.
Right.
You know?
Become the news channel.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
And that's where the power has come to.
Yeah. And this is a prime example of how that works. I've seen it happen, I don't know, at least a dozen times like this,
mm-hmm.
that just commenting on their social media has caused a change.
Yeah, I mean, and in this aspect, it's where the people can actually make a difference for a change instead of, you know, having to wait for the higher up people to do something.
Right.
You can do it on a lower level.
Yeah, you don't have to wait on a lawsuit. You don't have to wait on the letter from the FFRF.
Letters, yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
This is where people can actually get involved.
Mm-hmm. And it pretty much goes for anything that
right.
people stand up against.
Right. I think any form of slacktivism is useful.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just sharing a post, right? If you have 20 friends, that's 20 people that saw it.
Right. And then if they have friends and then each, you know, you get the whole little fingers going on.
Yeah, it just sounds like an old commercial.
Do I?
They tell two friends and they tell two friends and they tell two friends.
You're old.
I am old. But it does. It's the same thing.
Uh-huh.
That's how social media works.
Phone tree.
Not even phone tree. It's better than a phone tree.
Yeah.
Because with a phone tree, you can tell one person at a time.
Now you can tell everyone all at the same time.
Right. Some people can
Which
tell.
Which is why they get bombarded on their pages and they wind up having to shut it down.
Right. Which is why I'm a vehement anti-Trump tweeter.
Mm-hmm.
I like to tweet against Trump.
Yeah. He keeps you on your toes because he doesn't ever shut up.
Oh my God, he's horrible.
Uh-huh.
We could do a whole show on just his tweets.
Oh, we are so not going there right now.
I know.
Please. And we have so much more ahead of us, and I'm already so sick of it.
Yeah, I know. That's going to be a big issue. It's going to be Trump burnout.
Yeah, oh, I'm already there.
I worry about it a lot. That people who normally would be very active in this, they're just going to say, I've had enough Trump. I don't care.
Oh, well.
And that's going to be a big problem.
I've had enough Trump, but I wouldn't just let stuff go either.
Right.
I mean, when you need to do something, you need to do something. But I've so had enough Trump.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
But I would never say I'm not going there if you need to go there, right. You know?
Yeah. So, slacktivism works. Go do it.
Yes, absolutely. It's effective.
It is effective.
Even the little person can be effective.
And that is all. Hey, that's my line.
That's all we have.
No more yakking from you.
Or you.
All right. We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Patreon page.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye.